Hey everyone, my name's Nick Brandt. I'm one of the senior leaders here at Circa Riders. I want to welcome you to the Circa Rider podcast. If you don't know us, we're a YWAM missional community based here in Huntington Beach, California. Our passion is Jesus. Our mission field is our generation, and we believe our opportunity is now. I want to sincerely thank you for being a part of our broader community. Enjoy this podcast.
Let's go. Let's go. How are we doing tonight? Man, I love God of the Impossible. Isn't that so good? I didn't talk to the team. They didn't know what we were kind of going after in terms of topic for tonight. And they felt that song. And so our topic tonight is we're going after miracles. Yeah. We're going after the God of miracles. And so I thought it was only fitting that the Lord had us on the same page with the worship team. I'm going to pray for us. You would jump in. Does that sound good? Jesus, we love you, and we're so grateful for your presence and what you've been doing in our midst. And we ask, Holy Spirit, that you would be present tonight, that you would take over, that you would lead us, that you would reveal Jesus to us. And God, we're asking for miracles in this room, Lord, that we're asking for your power to be put on display. Lord, we're asking for impossible situations to bow their knee to King Jesus tonight. Holy Spirit, we give you permission to take over in Jesus' mighty name. Amen? Amen. Amen. All right. We're going to jump in. We were in a series. Who was tracking with us through this previous series we did on becoming a passionate Jesus follower? Just raise your hand high. I just want to see. Just keep it up. Raise your hand real high if you've been with us. If you weren't with us, I'm not going to recap it. Just go back and watch the messages. But we were in a series, becoming a passionate follower of Jesus. We went through a lot of different subjects and topics, all really geared towards us as believers living in a lifestyle of renewal. Not just so much that we would have periodic kind of shot in the arm type experiences, goosebumps, get us through another week, but that we would live in a constant state where our heart could live renewed before the presence of the Lord. And knowing that within our life, there are moments, there are times, right, when God does come in a profound way. We do have those encounters. And so we want to press in. What we're doing is we are trying to catch the wind of the Spirit and allow him to lead us forward. So over these next few weeks, we're going to lean in together. And I believe that the Holy Spirit is going to continue to mark us in a profound way. And he's going to show up and he's going to show off. That God has things in store for your life. So can we lean in? Can we lean in? Yeah. All right, let's lean in. I'm going to start with the story. There's a pastor who leads a church in South America. And he led his church. They had a kind of a repentance service. So the church came together and they were just crying out to the Lord. You know, when you have those moments in your life when you just feel like you just kind of got to get some stuff off your chest and you've been living maybe in compromise or you've got things going on. You haven't really been engaged with the Lord to the level that you know God's inviting you into. So they had this moment where they were as a body, as a family, coming to repent together and crying out in prayer for a fresh outpouring of God's Spirit among them. And it was in that place of repentance and prayer that God broke through. And something happened, something shifted in the Christians, in that church, in the believers. And they left the service that morning and they began going out into their communities, to their neighbors, knocking on doors. And they began to share the gospel everywhere, like immediately after the service. And this wasn't a very Christianized population or community. And so everyone was taking notice that the Christians were acting different. They knew they were followers of Christ. They knew they went to church, but there was something different that had happened, that had taken place in them. And so they ran another service that night, and tons of unbelievers and people who didn't know Jesus showed up to the church. And there was one in particular man who was very angry. He was, I believe, if not born this way, but for a long period of time was paralyzed on the right side of his body. And his friends literally, like a Bible story, carried him in on a rug, like on a blanket, carried him in. And he was angry. And he came to the service and he spoke up in front of everyone. And he said, listen, I've prayed to all of my gods. I've prayed to all of them. And now you want me to pray to Jesus. And as soon as he said the name Jesus, his paralyzed arm shot up in the air. No one laid hands on him. No one prayed for him. something called the presence of God touched his body, and all of a sudden, as he noticed his arm was stretched up in the air, he jumped up, grabbed the microphone, started dancing and running around, celebrating that he was no longer paralyzed. The first thing he said on the microphone is, "Look what Jesus just did for me." And the story goes that from that moment, tens of thousands of people came to Christ over the next season of time because God broke through in a moment. I open with that story because I want to tell you moments and times and seasons when God breaks through. He's still in the business of miracles. Look at your neighbor and say, he's still in the business. He's still in the business of miracles. And miracles are this. Miracles are a divine intervention that bring about or produce awe. They produce this sense of like the greatness of God. It generates something within the heart that you become astonished because an impossible situation just was reversed or changed or transformed by God breaking into a situation. Acts 10:38 says that the Holy Spirit anointed Jesus of Nazareth with power. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Jesus, when he walked the earth, was under the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And you would have to never read the Gospels to not see that Jesus, wherever he went, as he preached the kingdom, he would heal the sick. Miracles would take place. He turned water into wine. He did the craziest exploits under the anointing and power of the Holy Spirit. And the good news is that the ministry of Jesus is still active and alive on the earth today via the Holy Spirit. He's still active, he's still moving, and he does so through the body of Jesus, through the body of Christ. The Spirit is still active, and he still shows up, and he still works miracles in the same way that he did in that church in South America. He still does those miracles. So my question that I want to propose to us tonight is, do we know what we have? Do we know what we have? Do we know what we're sitting on? Do we know what we're living on? Do we understand what it is that we've actually been given in Christ? We went through this whole series leading up to, right, justification. We talked about sin, all the things that sin does, all the harm, all the destruction. And then we get to justification, about what we've been brought into relationship, right, standing with God. We talked about the gift of the Holy Spirit that we've been given. We talked about sanctification as we grow into Christ-likeness. And we talked last week about the authority that we've been given in Christ. And I believe it's time on the earth for the body of Christ to begin to exercise their authority. Not just celebrate it and talk about it. Yay, we have authority. But to start doing something with the authority. It says that Jesus went about doing good. He didn't just say, yeah, I've got the Holy Spirit. I'm king. I'm anointed. I'm amazing. He did something with it. He put it into practice. He actually saw someone that was sick. You know what he did? He laid his hands on them. And he didn't just kind of comfort them. He commanded the sickness to leave and it left. There was authority in his life and he exercised it. And I believe God wants us to begin to exercise our authority. C.S. Lewis has this amazing quote, as all of his quotes are. He says, if we consider the unblushing promises of reward and the staggering nature of the rewards promised in the gospel, it would seem that our Lord finds our desires not too strong, but too weak. He says, we are far too easily pleased. Do we know what we have? If we did, I think we would live a little bit differently. I know in my life there are areas where my lifestyle, my beliefs don't match up with what I know the scriptures say to be true. There is a gap. There is an experiential gap, and I want to close that gap in my life. My heart cry for me and for you is that God would give us by his Spirit a gift of faith to see impossibilities bend their knee to Jesus. I'm going to say that one again because I need you to catch this. What we are leaning into tonight is a gift of faith. Everybody say gift of faith. A gift of faith by the Spirit that God would come upon you in such a way that as you begin to face impossibilities in your life and in the life of those around you, they would begin to change because you would begin to move in the authority and power that the Holy Spirit has given you through Jesus. We should be living as believers on the edge of expectation. If this is expectation, my feet should be hanging over the edge, expecting at any moment, what is God going to do? How is God going to break through in this situation? When I face a crisis, I should have this expectation in me, knowing that this is challenging, this is hard, all the emotions that come with it. But at the same time, there should be an expectation in my heart, an excitement. God's going to get me out of this somehow. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know how I'm going to get free. I don't know how I'm going to pay off this debt. I don't know how I'm going to help this friend. I don't know how my family is going to get restored. But God is going to do something. He's in the business of miracles. Say he's in the business. He's in the business of miracles. If I told you, if I came up to you and I said, hey, I might maybe stop by your house this weekend. We'll see. If I said that to you, you might be like, cool. But how many of us have said that to someone? Hey, I might reach out. Yeah, I might stop by. Almost 10 out of 10 times, I'm not stopping by. So if I said that to you, hey, I might stop by your house this weekend, there might be like a small little ounce of like, oh, maybe he's asking to come by and hang out on Saturday. But chances are, you're not going to rearrange your week based on that type of comment, right? You're still going to plan your week. You're going to make weekend plans. You're almost going to forget about it because there wasn't a seriousness in my tone. But if I came up to you and said, hey, tomorrow, 2:00, it's on my calendar. I'm stopping by your house to hang out. I'll be there right at 2:00. I only got 2 hours. So I'm going to get there right at 2:00 so we can maximize the time. Your approach to your next day would be different. You would live with a different sense of expectation. You would clean your house in a different way. If I said I might stop by on Saturday, you might kind of straighten up your house Friday, but really you're like, hey, he's not coming, don't worry about it. But if you know I'm stopping by tomorrow at 2:00 to hang out, you're going to probably get things ready. You would live with a different sense of expectation. And I believe as we grow in our understanding of the scriptures and what God is like, we should live with that second kind of expectation. We should reorient our life around the fact that God still does miracles. He still breaks through. The difference between the Christian God and the God of that man in the church who said, I've prayed to all my gods. Nothing's happened. But you want me to pray now to Jesus? You see, the difference between the Christian God and all those other gods is that the Christian God is actually God. He's actually God. He's alive. He's infinite. He's all powerful. Psalm 115 out of the Message version, verses 3-7 says, our God is in heaven doing whatever he wants to do. Their gods are metal and wood, handmade in a basement shop, carved mouths that can't talk, painted eyes that can't see, 10 ears that can't hear, molded noses that can't smell, hands that can't grasp, feet that can't walk or run, throats that never uttered a sound. Psalm 135, God, your name is eternal. God, you'll never be out of date. God stands up for his people. God holds the hand of his people. The gods of the godless nations are mere trinkets made for quick sale in the markets, chiseled mouths that can't talk, painted eyes that can't see, carved ears that can't hear, dead wood, cold metal. The Christian God is no mere trinket. He's alive. He's infinite. And in a theological word, he is omnipotent, meaning that the Christian God is the living God that has limitless power. The living God that has limitless power. He has unending resources. He's the well that will never run dry. And he's what the Bible said is the God who does exceedingly, abundantly more than we can ask, think, or imagine. That's the Christian God. He's not a far off God high in the sky, real stoic and uninvolved with what's happening on the earth. He is not disengaged. Look at your neighbor and say, he's not disengaged. He's not disengaged. Psalm 40 verses 1 through 2. He inclined to me and he heard my cry. He has ears that hear. He has ears that hear. He heard my cry. It says he drew me up from the pit of destruction. He set my feet on a rock, making my steps secure. Psalm 116, I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my pleas for mercy. Because he has inclined his ear to me, therefore I will call on him as long as I live. You see, this God, the Father of Jesus, is a dynamic, power-filled presence that is ever-present. A dynamic, living, power-filled presence that is ever-present. There's a story of a man named G.K. Chesterton, and he was standing on a street corner in London, and he's well-known, and a reporter comes up to him and says, hey, I heard about your recent conversion to Christianity. He says, yeah. And he says, the reporter looks at him and says, well, what would you do if the resurrected Christ appeared or was standing behind you? And his response was, he is. He is. He is. He's presently risen and he's here. The reporter didn't understand, but G.K. Chesterton understood something, that this God, this omnipotent God, is also omnipresent, meaning he's everywhere. As C.S. Lewis says, the world is crowded with him. Says you can ignore him, but you can never evade him. The world is crowded with God. He's omnipotent, all powerful, and he's omnipresent. He's everywhere at all times. Psalm 139, where can I go from your spirit? Where shall I flee from your presence? If I go to heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you're there. The world is crowded with God. Theologians would also call this the unconscious presence of God. Hebrews 13:5 says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Matthew 28:20, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Regardless of emotion or feeling, God is present. God is present. How many of you are greatly encouraged that regardless of whether you feel it or not, he is present? Can I get a wave offering tonight in the house that he's there? We find great peace in that. But at the same time, I have a unction in my spirit that God doesn't just want to stay the omnipresent God in our lives. He wants to manifest his presence in a specific way in our lives, in a felt way, in a realized way, both individually and corporately. He wants to reveal himself in a greater dimension, both as we gather and as we go. I love this. One of my heroes. He's in his 90s now. His name's R.T. Kendall. Brilliant theologian, pastored a church in London, Westminster Chapel. Was the successor of Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones. Brilliant theological mind and really believes for the move of the Holy Spirit. And he said that in his church, there was over 300 people that signed a prayer covenant together. And this is what the prayer covenant was. And they committed to pray this every day. So think about, you know, however many there are of us in here, maybe, I don't know, 500, 600, maybe more. If we all signed our names committing to pray this prayer every day, here it is. We pray for the manifestation of the glory of God in our midst, along with an ever-increasing openness in us to the manner in which he chooses to show up. I'm going to read it again. We pray for the manifestation of the glory of God in our midst. Manifestation just means that God would show himself forth, that he would pull back the curtain, that he would reveal who he is in a tangible, realized way in our midst, and that we would be open, ever increasingly open, that whatever meal he decides to serve, we will feast. We get entitled sometimes, and we want to play the chef, but he's the chef. He makes the meal. He delivers the meal. We get to sit at the table and eat whatever he offers. And I believe God wants to offer us a feast called miracles. I believe it's in his heart to do so. Because there are times, there are moments, there are seasons when the omnipresent God comes in a particular, felt, and realized way. Genesis 3:8, they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden. I'm asking God, give me discernment to know what does it sound like when you come in a room. You should pray that prayer. God, open my ears to hear when you enter in. We know you're here, but there's moments. There was a moment in Luke chapter 5 where it said the power of the Lord was present to heal. That fascinating that they knew the power was present. There was something. Yes, God's everywhere, but there's moments, times, seasons when he walks in the room in a different kind of way with something on his heart, something he wants to convey, something he wants to show forth, something he wants to do. Could it be a situation in your life tonight? Could it be an impossible situation you're facing? And tonight, Jesus is walking in the room saying, will you recognize me? Will you discern my presence? You know, tonight, the title of my talk tonight is You Should Expect Miracles. You should expect miracles. I'm going to be honest. I wrestled with that being the title because I've experienced enough disappointment in my life to know that there's not always a miracle. Anybody ever experienced disappointment in their life? I've experienced enough where I've prayed for people I dearly, dearly love and they didn't get healed in this life. They're healed now with the Lord. But as I was wrestling through the topic, I felt the Lord challenge me. He says, Zach, in the same way you're trying to talk yourself out of this title, a multitude of unbelieving believers talk themselves out of miracles every day. Said, anybody can talk themselves into a worst case scenario. Anybody can do that. It takes another different type of spirit to believe God can break through. It takes a different type of spirit to look at that thing you've been battling for a decade and say, this thing can change today. Listen, I know what it feels like to be under the weight of a situation that you don't know how you're going to get out of. I woke up in the hospital, tubes in my body, bound and addicted, overdosed, tried everything. No clue. How am I going to get out of this? I didn't know what to do. I had no idea where to turn. I was hopeless until someone who had greater faith than I did walked into the room and dropped a prophetic bomb on me in my hospital bed. You want to know what the prophetic bomb was? He looked at me in the eyes and he said, Zach, it's going to be okay. That was my prophetic word. Listen, tonight, I don't know what metaphorical hospital room you're in, but I'm walking in your room tonight. Right now, I'm telling you. Look at me in the eyes. I'm telling you. If you're in something and you don't know how you are going to get out, you don't know how that thing is going to change, I'm telling you, it's going to be okay. God is on your side. God is on your side. He can still breakthrough. Anyone can believe for the worst case scenario. Tonight, God is beckoning by his Spirit, saying, I have a gift for you. It's called a gift of faith. I want you to believe in my goodness. I want you to believe in my ability. That when everything else seems to be on its way to destruction and death, I can step in a moment and life can begin to happen. Miracles can take place. Paralyzed arms shoot up in the air when Jesus steps into a situation. They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden. Exodus 3, Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law, and he led his flock to the west side of the wilderness, and he came to the mountain of God, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. God revealed himself to Moses. Exodus 40, verse 34 and 35, the cloud covered the tent, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. 2 Chronicles 5, the glory of the Lord filled the temple. Acts 2, the Spirit comes into the upper room. Tongues of fire rest upon them. A sound like a mighty rushing wind. God chose to manifest himself, to come in power. God showed up. There are times, there are seasons, there are moments when the God who crowds the world walks in the room. Will we be aware? Will we take advantage of the invitation? I believe, we believe, our team believes this season is an invitation where the Lord's saying, I'm walking into the room. I'm in the house. I preached a message this summer called Jesus is in the house. And when Jesus is in the house, things change. When Jesus was in the house, that's when the friends brought the paralyzed man and ripped open the roof. When he's in the house, miracles start taking place. Another story about when God shows up. I've shared this story to our school. You've already heard this. Some of you maybe have heard this story of a woman named Barbara Comiskey, who was from Illinois. You see, it's easy. We hear these miracle stories of all over the world, and they're all different places. And say, yeah, God does those things there, but he doesn't do that type of stuff here in America. Well, this happened in Illinois. And she was diagnosed with an extremely aggressive form of MS and basically paralyzed. She was blind. She was on breathing machines. Her wrists were curled up. She was on her last leg of life. Doctors had done everything they could for her, and they told her family the last time that she'd spent her life in hospitals, and they said, this is the last time we're going to be sending her home. She's probably not going to make it much longer. And so they sent her home, and Barbara deeply loved Jesus, deeply loved Jesus. And she hadn't been able to go to her church in a long time, and she was at home, and somehow there was an announcement on the Christian radio about Barbara. And on Pentecost Sunday of 1981, some of her friends came over to see her, and they brought all of these handwritten cards of prayers and just words of encouragement. As they began to read the cards to her on Pentecost Sunday 1981, as she's sitting there listening to the words, she says she hears a voice come over her shoulder that says, my child, get up and walk. And as she hears that voice, she said, I didn't have time to think. I just stood up. And what she found as she stood up was what she could not do previously, that her feet were able to stand flat on the ground. Her arms were to her side. Her muscles, which she hadn't used in years that were deteriorated, didn't atrophy. Her mother walked in the room in panic because of the screams, and she looks at her daughter's legs and says, you have calf muscles. And she's racing around the room, doesn't know what's happening, yells for her dad. Her dad thought it was her sister because he hasn't heard his daughter yell out in so many years. He comes into the room to find her. She actually runs out to find him. And they begin dancing and swirling around the room together because she was completely healed in a moment because Jesus walked into the room. She went to the doctors the following day. They ran tests. She was completely healed, and she's still healed if she's alive now. She's been healed since that moment. What happens when God walks into your room? Things change. I want to prophesy to you tonight. God wants to show up and show off in your life. He wants to show up and show off in your life. And I believe that some of you have been in your, you have Lazarus type situations happening in your life. You've got things going on, situations that seem dead and done. Decay has set in on those things. And you have given up your faith because you've believed for so long, and decay has set in such a way that you've just abandoned those things in your life, those situations. And God is here to tell you tonight, He is right on time. There is a Lazarus come forth in your life, in your situation. He's saying, will you believe it? Will you lean in? Will you press in? It feels like for some of you, you feel like you got 5,000 plus looking at you, needing something from you. You're the youngest in your family. And for some reason, all your family, they just come to you. You're the friend in your friend group that it seems like, you know, when it's like hangout time on the weekend, sometimes they forget to text you. But when there's a crisis, you're their 911. You're that friend. You don't know. You're that person in your life. People are just always coming to you, and you feel like you got 5,000 people looking at you for food, and you got five stinky little fish and two stale pieces of bread. And you feel like, I got nothing to offer those who are looking to me. You're looking for guidance. You're looking for direction. You're like Moses. You got the Red Sea before you. You got the Egyptians behind you. You don't know what to do. Bills are stacking up. Bank account shrinking. Crisis is happening in the family. Friends are falling apart. The list goes on and on and on. But I want to read a Bible verse to you. Psalm 77:20 out of the Message says this: hidden in the hands of Moses and Aaron, God, you led your people like a flock of sheep. God was hidden in the hand of Moses. He was hidden in his hand. In Exodus 4, God asked Moses this question: what is in your hand? What do you have in your hand, Moses? He had a staff. God says, throw it on the ground. He throws this staff on the ground. The staff becomes a snake. And when he picks it back up again, it becomes a staff. You see, God was hidden in the staff. God was hidden in the hand of Moses. And when they come to the Red Sea in Exodus 14, God says to Moses, hold your staff high, stretch your hand out over the sea, split the sea. Split the sea. Moses, surrender what you have in your hand. I know it feels like you got nothing. I know it feels like you got all this crowd looking at you. They need food. You got stinky fish, five of them. Two pieces of stale bread. Massive crowd. You got all these things, this pressure on you. You got to lead. You don't know how to lead. You got to bring solution. You don't know what the solution is. You got bills that need to be paid. You don't know how to pay them. You got family members asking you to pay their bills. You ain't got money to pay your own bills. You don't know what to do. You're in the pressure cooker. And God says, what's in your hand? What do you have? Surrender it to me. Surrender it to me. Exodus 4:17, he tells Moses, I want you to take in your hand this staff. That is what you will do all the signs with. You see, God can put his miracle touch on your weakness and your inability, and he can turn your weakness into strength by his anointing. God wants to show up, and he wants to show off through your weakness. Some of you have written yourself off. Oh, yeah, so-and-so will do it. The famous Christian preacher will do it. No. Miracles aren't reserved for the famous. We bought a lie. If you don't have so many followers on Instagram, you don't have influence. Bogus, dude. Half those are bought followers anyway. They're not real. Anointing doesn't, your followers doesn't equate your anointing. People all over the world that don't have a social media account that are moving in the power and the miraculous. They're doing the craziest stuff. You never heard about them. You probably never will. But I'll tell you what, heaven is crowded because of their obedience. Heaven's full. Heaven's full. They said, I don't have time to worry about that. It's not nothing wrong with it, but I can't let that slow me down from this. There's a broken world. There's pressure. People need help. All I got's this staff. All I got's these fish, this stale bread. I don't know, but I know one thing. God's hidden in it. There's a power. There's an anointing. It's hidden. What's hidden in your hand? Well, come on. What's hidden in your hand? What do you have? What is the weakness you have? What's the skill set that you've written off in your life? Some of you, oh, God wants to, the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon David. Some of you, you're a David. You've got this skill. You've got this ability to play an instrument, to sing. Yet because you haven't been put on the stages you thought you would be put on, you've given it up. Well, I said, it was never about the stage. What David prepared in private, God put an anointing on when the king was tormented. He called the shepherd boy who was singing songs to his sheep. And what he cultivated in that private life, he carried that into the presence of the king and the demons left. Some of you, other people's breakthrough is riding on you using your gifting. God's saying, pick it back up. Start singing the song. Start strumming the guitar. Listen, you don't have to even be a musician or a great singer. I can't sing for lick. I just turn the Spotify up real loud so I can't hear myself. Man, I let it rip. You see, the X factor for David, yes, he was skillful. Yes, he had skill, but here's the X factor. 1 Samuel 16:18. The X factor for David was that the Lord was with him. The Lord was with him. 1 Samuel 16:23. David took the lyre and he played it with his hand. What's in your hand? What has God given you that you've been neglecting? Don't neglect a gift that the Father gives you because it's not the gift you wanted. Sorry. That was intense. I didn't mean to say it. Just came out. When David played, God showed up and God showed off. Pick up your guitar again. Start singing those melodies when nobody's watching. Cultivate the presence of God when nobody sees it. I love what Bill says, Bill Johnson. He says, I don't want anyone leading me in worship that doesn't know how to lead themselves in worship. It's good for me. I agree. I concur. Some of you may have a home life that's really challenging. You got family issues and dynamics and things that are like, it makes it hard to live in your house. You've tried all these different things. Let me tell you, lock your door, get out that guitar, turn on that Spotify, start worshiping your way through that warfare. Start worshiping your way through that stuff that's been haunting your family. God saying, hey, I've put a song in your heart. Shut the door, lock it, let it rip. Start singing, start worshiping, start praising, start blessing, get into the scriptures, cultivate the presence of God in that room so every time your mom or your dad or your brother walks by the room, something hits them. Then they go to the kitchen, they get something, they walk back, boom, something hits them. What are you doing in there? Come on in. You've been cultivating something in your private life that begins to affect those around you. I don't care if you can't sing. I don't care if you can't play. Start worshiping Jesus. I remember when I was fresh out of Teen Challenge. Wish you could have met me then. Funny guy. But different lifestyles. Just went in my mind actually for a moment to what I was like then. Man, it was crazy. But awesome. I got out of Teen Challenge and I started working a night shift. Any night shift workers in the house? Just me? Oh, we got a couple. I see that hand back there. God bless you. May the Lord anoint you. I was working night shift at Ralph's grocery store. Yeah, oh yeah. Anybody work at Ralph's or ever worked at a Ralph's? Just me? Man, you guys just for a season, you go get that night shift job at the Ralph's. See what happens to you. I was working night shift, and I remember the night I showed up. I show up to my job, and it was a crowd that worked there. It was a crew. And I show up, and they're all outside smoking cigarettes, waiting to go in, and I kind of stand up, just fresh out of Teen Challenge, just pumped on God. I just got liberated from addiction. I met Jesus. I'm like on cloud nine. But then I come up to this group, and all of them are like, they're kind of rough. They're kind of rowdy. They're smoking cigarettes. And I walk up, and all of a sudden, I just get so insecure. And they ask me, what are you doing here? I was like, gosh, what a welcome to my first night at work. Is that how you treat all your coworkers? But I had a moment. There comes a moment. If we want to move in the miraculous, we cannot let the fear of our reputation keep us from being bold about what we're believing for. So I had a moment. Here I go. Introduction. What am I going to say? I let it rip. I just share my testimony. Here's what I'm believing God's doing in my life. Here's why I'm here. I'm preparing God's will. And they're just like, oh, wow, okay. They just keep smoking and go back about their day. And so, but I knew I had crossed a threshold. And so I didn't want to go backwards. Because it's harder, right, to get the momentum again. If you've got momentum, push through. Don't let the fear push you back. And so I just remember, I was like, every night, I got to lean in. So I just like, I'm going to win all these people over. Cause at that point, I'm like at an arm's distance. You know, you thought I smelled bad or something. Like I didn't really fit in. So you know what I did? I was stocking shelves. I had my little push cart, had my little, portable speaker, my iPod. I hooked that iPod into my portable speaker. I turned on Rick Pino worship and I'm just going down. Putting cat food on the shelves and dog food. And I hated doing the dog food because you open, there's always some nasty ones that were opened and it's stinky. And I got my worship going. Then I would turn on a Bill Johnson sermon or I'd turn on something and I'd turn on worship and I'm just going up and down the aisle, stocking shelves, praying for all my coworkers, praying for them. Can I tell you that as I began to cultivate that, what would come to happen is that I would pray for one of them and their wrist would get healed in the night. And all of a sudden people are getting intrigued. And then one of the guys comes to find out he's kind of a backslidden believer. And all of a sudden he's like, hey, I started doing prayer walks in my neighborhood. I'm like, oh, really? Tell me more. And then by the time my time was done at Ralph's, we had Rick Pino blasting on the loudspeakers over the entire store. And I don't know if I should have, you know, he's got some songs, he sings in tongues, there was no interpretation, you know, I didn't know all the rules, but all I knew is I need God to show up. And God showed up. I remember sitting in my truck it was an Isuzu Rodeo. You guys ever have heard one of those? An Isuzu Rodeo. And, I'm in that thing, lunch break, which is, I don't remember, 4 a.m., something like that. Just crying out to God. Just crying out to God, putting worship on. I didn't know what else to do with my life. I just knew I needed God. And it was as I cultivated that life with God and I began to honor him in the secret place, he began to honor my life in public. He began to show up because you see, so many people want a public life, but he says, I can't trust you with my presence in secret. It will destroy you out of his kindness. Can't put you there, but if you begin to cultivate it, if you begin to pursue Jesus when no one's looking, if you begin to honor his presence in the secret place, I'm telling you, God will begin to unlock things in your life. You will develop a history with God so that when you're in the crisis, you have a history to pull from. You got something in your bloodline now with the Lord, something in that lineage where you can pull into the now and the present. And when you lay hands on that person who's depressed, who's filled with anxiety, you say, oh, I've got a history I can pull on. God delivered me 10 years ago. Yeah, I dealt with that. Guess what happened? God met me. Let me pray for you. And all of a sudden you lay hands. Electricity fills their body. A miracle happens. God intervenes. Why? Because you took a step. You leaned into faith. You believed. God still does miracles. Don't settle in your life for a Christianity that has no power. Don't settle in your life for a Bible that doesn't work anymore. Don't settle in your life for a restricted future. Don't settle in your life. Don't settle for 50% of your calling. Don't settle. Don't settle. Some of you have settled in. God said, I'm just getting started with you. We haven't even begun. If I told you the things I have for you, you would not believe it. It's so extraordinary. Don't you dare settle. Don't settle for your friends and family not encountering Jesus. Don't settle for an experiential deficit in your life. God wants to be encountered. He's everywhere, but he wants you to feel him. Because he knows what happens when he touches a human frame. It changes everything. But here's the invitation. Are you willing for everything to change when he touches you? A lot of us like to remain in our dysfunction. So God withholds for a season. Like, you're not ready to change. You're a little bit afraid because God knows if I touch you, game over. You'll be ridiculed. You'll look crazy. People won't understand. They'll probably talk about you. There might be some side texts about you. What's been going on with him? What's been going on with her? Are you willing to bear the reproach of Christ for a lifestyle of miracles? Are you willing to go through a little bit of embarrassment so that people who are bound by demons can be liberated? God's looking for a generation saying, I'm just waiting for someone to yield. I'm just looking for someone to give me unrestricted surrender. When I do, the generation is not ready for what one yielded vessel could do. It was said of the disciples, they turned the world upside down. Fishermen, roughnecks, sticking their foot in their mouth, but they had something hidden in their hand. They had an anointing. They had a gift. What is in your hand? Band can come back up. I'm going to read you a few Bible verses. And then we're going to press in together and we're going to pray for each other tonight and we are going to believe for miracles. Can I read you a few verses? Bible says that we need faith and that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of Christ. If you look throughout the Gospels, when God began to move, when miracles started happening, faith was always present. Jesus either had faith, he always had faith. Friends of someone had faith, the recipient had faith. Faith is the X factor. It's the faith factor, as my late mentor said. It's the faith factor that we need that cultivates an atmosphere for the miraculous. Matthew 9, 28 through 30. He entered the house. The blind men came to him. Jesus said, do you believe that I am able to do this? They said to him, yes, Lord. Then he touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith be it done to you. And their eyes were open. Mark 5, 36 through 42. I won't read it all. Jesus just overhears him and he says, do not fear, only believe. It says he allowed no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. They came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and Jesus saw a commotion. People were weeping and wailing loudly, and when he entered, he said to them, "Why are you making a commotion and weeping? The child is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed. He put them outside, took the children's parents in there, prayed. She was healed. Listen, some of us have too many voices of unbelief crowding our mind. We got to get the voices out and cling to faith. Well-intentioned voices may insert themselves in your life. You love and bless, but you got to cling to faith. You got to cling to faith. Mark 9:23, all things are possible for one who believes. Mark 11:24, whatever you ask in prayer, believe. Everybody say believe. Believe that you have received it and it will be yours. Mark 16:17-18, these signs will accompany those who believe. Luke 8:50. Jesus, on hearing this, answered, "Do not fear, only believe." John 4:49-51. The official said to him, "Sir, come down before my child dies." Jesus said to him, "Go, your son will live." The man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him, and he went on his way. As he was going down, his servants met him and told him that his son was recovering. I could go on and on and on, scripture after scripture after scripture. Tonight, God is looking at us saying, get your faith through the roof. Get your faith up. He says, my faith is up. I'm believing for you. I'm believing for your family. I'm believing for your generation. Where is your belief? Where is your trust? Where is your faith? Here are some things you should expect. Can I read them to you? You should expect the restoration of your family. You should expect lost friends coming to Christ. You should expect supernatural provision. Listen, it doesn't always have to look like some crazy miracle. My wife and I, when we first got married, and we hadn't been married long at all, I was the brokest I'd ever been when we got married. I had no money. Still don't have much, but I had none then. Negative. And we're in an argument. My wife and I are in an argument in the living room because all my wife wanted was she wanted a new broom. We had this old nasty broom somebody gave to us. She wanted a new broom and she wanted a welcome mat. Listen, that's how broke we were. Babe, we ain't got the money. Now looking back, I should have just swiped the card, but God wanted to teach me a lesson. God wanted to teach us something. He wanted to teach us a principle to build our marriage on. And we're in this argument, and we don't usually argue, to be totally honest. We're not big arguers. And I was like, hey, this is not, we're not arguing about this. Look, we ain't got that much money. Let's just go split an ice cream and let's just cool our jets. So it had been storming and raining randomly here. And so it had stopped. So we get in the car and we're driving down Beach Boulevard, about to turn on Atlanta Avenue. And on the corner there's a bus stop and a bus overhang where people can sit. And as we're going, my wife starts hysterically laughing. Now, mind you, there is nobody out. It had just been pouring down rain. There's nobody on the streets. There's not hardly any cars. She starts hysterically laughing and she says, "Turn over, turn around, pull a U-turn, pull a U-turn, pull a U-turn." I was like, what is happening? I pull a U-turn. She's like, pull over. We pull over. She gets out of the car, beelines over to the bus stop hangover thing. There is a brand new welcome mat on top, so completely dry. I'm not kidding. It had been pouring down rain. This thing was on top of the deal, completely dry. She grabs it, gets it in the car, starts hysterically laughing. I don't remember the timeline. Within maybe, I don't know, I'd have to ask her. Very soon after that, she gets a text message from a friend. I can't remember who it was. I think it was Laura. And gets a text, says, "Hey, we have an extra broom we just got. Do you guys need one?" Something like, and within like a strange, and my wife just starts cracking up. And God was saying, "Hey, listen to me. I'm going to provide for you. Stop getting stressed. Hey, it's going to be okay." It doesn't have to be some crazy miracle. God is interested in the big, He's interested in the small, and He was saying, "I want you to build the foundation of your life on me bringing miracles in you, to you, and through you." That's the call of the believer. You should believe for supernatural provision. You should believe for divine healing. Why cannot the power to heal be present in this room? Why can't the sick of Orange County and Southern California come here and be healed? Why not? Why not here? Why not now? Why not in this season? We should believe for divine healing. We should believe for words of knowledge, words of wisdom, gifts of faith. You should believe for a new spiritual prayer language. You should believe for a fresh anointing on your life. You should believe for promotions at your work. You should believe for open doors when everything else seems closed off. You should believe for God's sovereign hand of providence to lead you and guide you. You should believe for prophetic words coming to pass, and you should believe for answered prayer. Half the time we don't pray because we don't think he'll answer. He said, oh, if you would just give me a weak prayer, just something. He's so ready to move. But he set up this thing called the Christian life to move in relationship. He's saying, I'm ready. I'm leaning over. He says, I'm on the edge of expectation. Would you meet me there? Would you give me a weak prayer for your mom? Would you give me a weak prayer for your friend? Would you give me a weak prayer for that provision you need? Would you give me a weak prayer for that sickness that you've been struggling with? Would you give me a weak prayer of surrender for the addiction you can't overcome? Would you give me a weak prayer so that I can meet it with my power? You should expect miracles. Why? Because Hebrews 13:8 says that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He has not gone back on who he is or what he does. He gave the disciples a commissioning. He says, I'm giving you authority and power. Heal the sick. Cast out demons. Cleanse lepers. Raise the dead. Basically, he's saying, do the impossible. Perform miracles. Hidden in the hand of Moses, God led his people. God's hidden something in your hand. It's himself. He's there. He's given you gifts. He's given you abilities. He's given you things. He has not taken the power back. Can you stand with me tonight? Listen, I'm telling you tonight, God is on your side. I want you to say, God is on my side. I want you to say it again. Say, God is on my side. Come on, say it again. Say, God is on my side. One more time. Say, God is on my side. I want you to say, miracles are here for me. Say, miracles are here for me. We could go through a list of the miracles that are needed in this room, in your life, and those you know. We could go down it all. Here's the deal. God knows every single one. There's nothing hidden from his sight. There's no struggle you're going through he's not already aware of. There's no friend that you're praying for that he's not already involved in. There's no family dysfunction that he's not already in. There's no bill that you have that he's not aware of. He sees it and knows it all, and there are miracles waiting for you. Jesus said, didn't I tell you, if you believed, you would see the glory of God. Here's what I want to do. Can we get this prayer up on the screen? I have a prayer I want us to pray, and then we're going to pray for each other. This is a prayer that I want us to pray together out loud. We're going to declare this out. Make this our declaration. And we're going to worship Jesus. And then we're going to pray for specific needs tonight, okay? Can you stay with me a little longer? On the count of three, I want us to read this together. Are you ready? Out loud. With faith in your heart. Everybody say faith. 3, 2, 1. Lord, I believe that you are the God of miracles. Give me a heart of expectation and an attitude of faith. God is able. God is willing.
Teach me, Lord, to develop a belief system that believes nothing is impossible with God. Lord, let your ordained miracles be in me, around me, and through me. Lord, I believe you have miracles prepared for me today and every day. Miraculous and life-changing miracles. A miracle is on its way to intercept me right now. I'm looking for these miracles, believing, reaching, praying, and expecting.
Hang on. There's more. There's more. You ready? 3, 2, 1.
Lord, I see miracles coming my way in my finances, my relationships, my physical body, my job, my family, my life. Lord, let me receive things beyond my seeing, things beyond my hearing, things beyond my imagining, things you have prepared for me. New visions, new dreams, new passions, new miracles are coming my way. Lord, I accept your supernatural working in my life and my future. Let the miracles begin.
Come on, if you need a miracle in your life, or you are representing someone you know that needs a miracle, raise your hand high in the sky. Come on, most of us in the room, here's what I want you to do. I just want you to put your hand on the shoulders of people next to you. All around the room, I want you putting your hand, if they're okay, just put it on their shoulder, the person next to you. We're going to cry out. We're going to begin to cry out for the miraculous to begin to move in people's lives. We're going to begin to pray for miracles to start breaking out, for sicknesses to be healed, for debts to get paid off, for impossible situations to bend their knee to King Jesus. Come on, begin to lift your voice. Begin to ask God to move in miraculous power in their life. Begin to call forth the power of God into their situation, into their circumstance. Father, tonight we are believing and receiving a miracle touch from heaven tonight. Father, we believe heaven has answers to our prayers tonight in Jesus' name. Come on, keep praying, keep contending, keep believing. Cry out for their miracle. Cry out for their breakthrough. Partner with your faith with theirs. All right, do me a favor here. We're going to continue to pray. We're going to continue to pray. But for a moment, I just want every hand stretched to heaven tonight. We're going to sing for a moment. If you want to come forward, you can come forward. We're going to continue to pray. I feel there's things on God's heart tonight. So stay with us for a few more moments. But I just for a few minutes, I want to begin to sing. I want us to begin to lift our voices in your own words right now. Begin to lift up praise to King Jesus, the miracle worker. Jesus, we bless you tonight. Come on, every voice, begin to lift up the name of Jesus. Begin to lift up a song. Begin to lift up a sound. Begin to lift up your voice.
Thanks for listening to a Circle Rider podcast. For our full library of podcasts and more information about the Circle Riders, visit us at circuitriders.com. To access worship, messages, and training courses, visit us at circuitriders.tv. To get involved with the day-to-day of what we do or see what's happening across the globe, you can follow us at Circuit Riders on Instagram. And finally, don't forget to leave a review on Apple Podcasts. We'll see you next time.